actually some studies out.
Alright,
love those
shoes.
Dude, chacos.
The only way to hike. Don't do it in the rain in the middle of July with 40 pounds on your back.
But they're awesome. You don't have to start me yet.
We did.
Too late.
Okay. Just for my own self, we're just going to pray again. And I know we already prayed, but we're going to just pray again. Father, we just come before you and thank you just that you are a good father. We thank you for your kindness and your gentleness toward us. Lord, we just invite you here to minister to us, to go to places in our heart, Lord, that you know are there, that you desire to work in and move in, God. So we just pray now that you would just remove us out of the way and allow you just to do a work in each one of us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to get to serve these girls and American Heritage girls, along with serving their families. And it's such an honor and a great privilege, Lord. And so we just ask now, Lord, that you would just continue in this night just to show us how to better be of use to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you pulled up the schedule, this is called Walking in Love, Social Media, and Current Events. And why I felt it was important just to spend some time just on this topic of walking in love is there are some major events going on in our culture and the world right now. And to be honest, in the past few months, I've been heartbroken, not only by the events, but by the response of believers, and some even in American Heritage Girls. And so this is not a talk by any means to not have opinions or beliefs, but what I'm sad about is the way in which we express those, and not only just being a Christian when we're getting on social media or we're putting our stance out there, are we representing Christ as a Christian, but we're representing American Heritage Girls, we're representing Harvest Chapel. And so my heart has been grieved, and I just went to the Lord and just said, God, you know, the world is getting worse, and people are lost, like Kim said, they're hurting. Children come in confused. I'm a PIPA unit leader, if you don't know, which is the Pioneer Patriots, the oldest girls. We have girls that used to be part of our unit that are struggling with sexual identity. They just face a lot of things that are hard. And what I guess the Lord's really stirred in me is, where's the love? And so I just felt it critical to talk about walking in love. And so we're going to go over three topics, which the first one being that we're called to love. The second is, what is love? And then the third we'll talk about is how to walk in love. And so if we could look at 1 Peter 4:8, you can go to these verses. There's going to be quite a few, hopefully not 2 hours worth. I won't know where to scrap because I didn't write all of them out. But 1 Peter 4:8 says, so this is, we're going to talk about now, the being called to love. It says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And so, as I was looking at that verse, you know, the word that pops out to me is fervent. So I looked that up. It means intently, strenuously, earnestly, instantly. I paused on that. Instant love for one another. Challenge there. Stretched, strained. When I reread those words and just meditated on each one of those, I don't really get a sense of easy love. None of those sound easy to me. If you've worked out, which many of you know if you've been around for a while, I'm about 50 pounds less in 1 year from our last camp out where we taught the girls how to be healthy. And I went home from that and was sad because, again, I'm with the older girls, and they had no healthy habits. And when I say no, I mean no healthy habits. Drinking water, what? No. Sleeping, what? No. Exercising, what's that? I played volleyball for a little season. And so eating, well, I don't eat till lunchtime, and then sometimes I even don't even eat lunch, and I just eat dinner. And so just, I went home so sad because, again, they were struggling with what they thought of themselves, not having any healthy habits. And so prayed, and the Lord was like, what about you? You know, you're a leader. You're an example. What about for your family? So, I do not enjoy working out. So when I hear strenuous, I understand if anyone is on that path to try and get healthy. That's like not easy. And so here God's calling us to have a fervent love for one another. A strained, it's strenuous. And why? For love will cover a multitude of sins. You know, that covering isn't that because if I fervently love someone, now it atones for that person's sin. Only Jesus can do that. But this love applies the grace. And so as Kim was talking about, we rub each other. And there's the two ways. You know, there's the way of the flesh. Or there's that way of following God where it becomes smooth. And I allow the Lord to work something out in me. And that's why we are going to strive for that fervent love, is so that we can have grace for someone else. So, Proverbs 10:12.
Jen.
Yes.
I got to go. I want to say I'm sorry for having to leave in. But
yeah, you're fine.
Yes. Is great, and I'll be back
wonderful
in the morning.
Okay. Yes. Skip
right
out.
We can't handle
skip
the lady at night.
No, that's totally fine.
Next year.
Skip out as needed. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And so those moments, that's the choices, is when we choose to walk in grace and cover the sin, we're loving. When we're not, it's hatred to stir up strife. I have a long list of scriptures, so if you have a Bible, who has them? Okay, I'm going to shoot you. If you can look up Romans 13:8, and if you can look up Galatians 5:13 and 14, and you have your 1 Thessalonians 4:9.
I've got mine too.
And if
okay,
you
told me Galatians
5:13 and 14. And if you can do 1 Peter 3:8 and 9. And 1 John 3:11. And then if you guys just, can you say what one you're reading and then just go ahead.
Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law.
Just whoever has one, just say where you're reading from.
I have 1 John 3:11, for this is the gospel message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
I have Galatians 5:13 through 14, freedom for service. For you were called for freedom, brothers, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
And 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another.
Mine is 1 Peter something.
1 Peter 3:8 and 9.
Thank you.
Finally, all of you, be of one mind, sympathetic, loving toward one another, compassionate, humble. Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, a blessing, because to this you were called, that you might inherit a blessing.
Was that all of them?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Okay. And then I'm going to read John 13:34.
You still have 1 John 3:11.
No, she said.
Oh, you did that
one. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, John 13:34, and this is Jesus saying, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So, clearly, we're called to love. And Jesus himself commands us that we would love one another as he loved us. You know, Jesus is God. And a lot of, you know, you'll read scriptures, willing to lay your life down for another. And sometimes I think, in my own self, I can think, yeah, I mean, I definitely would do that for some people. I'd lay my life down for my family or my friends. But when you think of, there's a children's devotional I pass along to you, I don't know if you ever read this one, but it talked about Jesus coming and dying for us, and how often we think we can relate to that, that we would die for someone. But would you die for a mosquito? Because God is not us. He is God. He is the creator of everything. And that scripture that says, "Who are we that you would be mindful of us?" You know, if you've traveled or seen mountains or stood at the ocean, you know, God's creation is amazing. And you can stand in awe of that and think, "Who am I?" You know, and our King, our God, came here and died for us. And that's the kind of love that he wants us to have. And so we're going to look at, well, what is this love? 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. I'm sure everyone's familiar with this love chapter. But it's always good to look at it and not go, "Yep, heard that." But to just kind of really soak in, especially in light of just current events and where we are today and how easy it is to take a very opinionated, strong stance on a lot of things. It's just looking at what love is. So would someone read 4-8 of 13?
I'll do it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing.
So, love is patient, or some might say, suffers long. And I just think of Jesus and all the things in my life that he's suffered long. And Kim talked about already just how gentle he is with us in those areas that we're weak, that he wants to purify us in. He's not standing over us with a fist that he's so disappointed, talking to us with this firm face. But he's filled with compassion and love and grace. And I'm so thankful that he treats us that way. And so this love that he's calling us to is when we have that rub, whether it's a non-believer or a believer, is our response to suffer long, to apply that grace. The way that Christ shows us that grace, or are we quick, "Well, just let me show you how you're wrong in that real quick, you know, for the betterment of everyone else. It's worth it for me to clear this up." You know, just so many opportunities for us to think we're going the right way. But here we see that love is patient and it suffers long. It's kind. It does not envy. And envying is coveting what someone else has. Or coveting is wanting what someone else has, and envying is not wanting them to have it. So, you know, "Well, Robin got this awesome new car, and, you know, mine's just raggedy, and I just wish I had a car. So I'm coveting her car. I want that car." But then, you know, there's this moment where I'm like, "Man, Like, how does she even get that car? And, like, now I don't even want her to have the car. Not love. But we do this. You know? I do this, I guess. I'll say I've definitely done this. Why did Brooke get that pasta machine? But it's so silly. But we do. We do these little things. And we should be celebrating. Like Kim was talking about the gifts. And, you know, Erica has a skit. Well, why she get that gift? And I get the dish duty gift. You know, it's like, you know, God doesn't want us to be that way. And it's definitely not loving. I'm omitting that. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that out loud. No, now I'm looking at you. So, you know, Jesus, of course, is going to take it a step further, like, you know, love like me and like I have loved, and like, whoa, what is that? And we just went through all these things that love is, and those are all hard. Like, I can't even do those. And now it's like another step of what this love is. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, wow. And this right here is what's lacking. Unbelieving people, the people who are struggling with sexual identity, is the argument is people love a whole lot more genuine than any Christian I've ever met. And that is heartbreaking. That people would not want to come to God or not walk into church because they've experienced love from the world more genuine than they ever have walking in a set of church doors. And when I'm on social media and all that's going on, it's like, it's sad because that's what I'm seeing too at times. Matthew 14. I'm glad I bought these. Thanks for my individual, but I haven't opened that sack yet. And this is something just the Lord has just challenged in me a lot. And I have a Thursday group, so some of these ladies, three of them, like I've already shared this before, but it's kind of just a scripture that I've read. I know the story, and then I read it again, and it was different. And it's John being beheaded, John the Baptist, and if you've experienced death of someone that you deeply love, you read this a little differently. I have passed Jesus' response to this, like, pretty flippantly. But I think just, I was just trying to count up today how long my dad's been dead for 10 years. My husband's lost both of his parents. His mom 14 years ago, and his dad 3, and we've lost a child. So I know that feeling of losing someone. And when I lost my dad, the year after that, I really have no memories. I had just had Anna. He died a month later, and I couldn't tell you her first year of life.
So when I read this, I'm just wowed at Jesus and the level of love he has. So if you remember, John the Baptist and Jesus are very similar in age. Their mothers, Mary walks in, and Elizabeth's got John the Baptist in the womb, and John the Baptist does his little somersault moves at when Mary comes, and John the Baptist is Jesus' forerunner. And so I would probably say they were friends. And Herod has a party, and Herodias' daughter dances for him, and so he promises whatever she wants. And she's going to say, I want this believer's head on a platter. And I don't know if you guys in world events have ever watched a recent beheading of the last couple years. Awful. And so here that is. No reason. John hasn't done anything to anyone. And just for fun, they will saw his head off and serve it on a platter. And it says in verse 13 of Matthew 14, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. And I resonate with that, because I was there for a year by myself. So I can see Jesus, the pain that he would have had, knowing that his dear friend, for nothing, had his head sawed off. And how sad that he must have been. And I know how I am. So here's this moment of this rub. And the Jen Riley, at this point, when it says, but when the multitudes heard it, they follow him. So this is immediate. I'm going to be alone. For me personally, I'm going to sit there a year maybe. But Jesus is followed immediately. And when Jesus went out, so I'm trying to be Jesus here and picture that, I'm just thinking, if I'm God, so I do the Jackson here, if I am God, and I've just lost my friend in this horrific way, and you're thronging, and I know, because I'm God, what you want, and that is you want something from me. You want to be healed. You want your daughter to be healed. You want this. I'm coming out, and I'm speaking the truth, but I'm going to yell, get away from me. I know why you're all here. My friend has just had his head sawed off. Leave me alone. No lies. I mean, that's the truth. But not love. And it says, Jesus went out. He saw this great multitude that I would definitely be yelling at. And he was moved with compassion and helped their sick. He heals all the people. And then it's going to go into feeding the 5,000. I've read that so many times and just like, oh man, gosh, I can't even visit that to John. Oh, Jesus is feeding the 5,000 here. It's like, but to fathom, this is his friend. And the emotion he would have had, and being by himself, and not even like a day. And he could have said truth, and we do this as believers. We say truth, but it's not love. And so Jesus is calling us to this different kind of love. In this example, Christ used his godliness not to bring condemnation, like Jen Riley would have done. Let me just condemn you on why you showed up. Your hearts are not pure. You want something from me, but you don't really want me. He didn't do that. Even if it was like the truth. He didn't use this moment to rebuke, to challenge the motives of their hearts, but he used his godliness to love. When walking through great loss, he served, and he continued to pour out his life. I think of the woman at the well, and we all know that story. Jesus didn't speak condemning truth to that woman. He didn't say, hey, you're a whore, you're a whatever. He didn't say that. He had compassion, compassionate love. I myself, I can't do that. That is not in me. So we're going to talk about how can we walk in this love? How is it even possible? And so if we can look at Romans 13, 14.
But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust.
So putting on Christ, like that's actively, it's something we have to choose. So like that rubbing wrong, there's two choices. There's a flesh and there's Christ, and we have to choose. So we got to acknowledge that there is those two things. We have to acknowledge in us there's a fleshly desire and there's God's way, his spirit and his desire and what he would have us to do. If we can look at Isaiah 55:8. I'm sure you guys probably have all heard this too. Someone has it and wants to read it.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are they your ways, my ways, says the Lord.
Okay, so an acknowledgement that there's two separate things going on. There's our flesh and there's God's way. And my ways aren't God's ways. Romans 7, 15 through 20. Romans 7, 15 through 20. And while someone's looking that up, if someone else wants to look up Galatians 5, 16 through 18.
What I do not understand, for I do not do what I want, but I do what I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I concur that the law is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that good does not dwell in me, that is, in my flesh. The willing is ready at hand, but doing the good is not. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me.
Galatians 5:16.
Say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
So there's these depictions of this war going on. Paul, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself, I'm doing them. And so there has to be that choice of walking in the Spirit. Colossians 3, 1 and 2.
Then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are done, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth.
So once we've acknowledged that we have this flesh and we have this spirit that is warring against each other, and there are choices that we have to make and paths we can take, and those are the two choices. You're going to go your flesh or you're going to walk in the Spirit. We put on Christ. And then
my next thing is, where's our mental focus? You know, okay, we have this situation, we're rubbed wrong. We got these, man, I'm flaring up. Is this, whenever I feel, our women seem to say, when you feel the rise, you know, you feel yourself rise, physically. Sometimes you're sick, but inside, you just feel it. You just can really feel it. That's usually a good check of, ooh, I think there's something here. There's something here. And this is something that the Lord is, you know, I've strived with this like my entire Christian walk because I got a quick rise. So the Lord has had to like tame that because my rise really comes awfully quick. It's like, So when you feel that is, where's your mental focus? When that happens, if I immediately am going, oh my gosh, I cannot believe, what? Why would she do that? Isn't she a Christian? You know, whatever we say, whatever this is, what's my family member? What the heck? Are they just trying to stir up trouble? You know, just whatever we're going on, whatever those things are. Here, God says, put our mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Everyone, even children, the children that we're ministering to that may annoy us sometimes, they're eternal. It is an eternal soul that we're dealing with. We are people that God created, that He wants to love and to pull up under His wing. And so often we put our mind, we take it from up there, and we're in the circumstances. And there went all the grace. Because I've been through this circumstance way too many times with this person. And now we've had it off. Well, but God said, forgive them how many times?
70 times.
And then more. Basically, you can't even keep track of that. That's how much we need to forgive. So setting our mind not on the offenses, not on the circumstances, not on what's going on, but on eternity. That right now, in this moment, I'm feeling the rise. I'm risen up. But God, what I choose right in this moment has eternity in the balance, and it does. For some people, I shudder the effects that we have had unknowingly on people. That someday we're going to be shown. And I'm so thankful that we don't have the burden. We are not the people saving anyone. So that's the point of not defending, not arguing, not being so brazen on a certain stance that you cut off all love, because you aren't out there saving anyone. Jesus does that. And we're going to learn how Jesus does it, which we already did if you look at how He responded to the people who came when John died, how He responds to the woman, and we'll read another scripture later. I don't see any rudeness. I don't see any brazen opinion. Even speaking truth, He chooses not to do that, and He loves. So if we can realign our minds, then we can respond. So, if we rise, respond, probably not good. I'm sure we've never done that. Just me. And usually then you've got to repent to people, you know? Children, I'm sorry, this was not Christ-like. You know, when I just flew off the handle like this, or, you know, I have these responsibilities and I'm buzzing around here and I'm pushing you away because nobody's got time for that, figure it out. It's unloving. Jesus didn't say, nobody's got time to heal you all, I'm grieving. And I know grief, so that would have been very easy to say. And He didn't say that. But I do that kind of stuff all the time. So, rise, heavenly thought with my mind, and now I can respond. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Kind of, I don't know what it's going to say, so it's going to... There were so many, I don't remember what's what.
like, what are we going to read? I don't even know.
Philippians 2, 1 through 4?
Yeah.
If there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but for everyone of those of others.
So, if now I've went heavenly and I get my perspective that we're eternal, so is this person I'm dealing with, so is everyone who's on social media, they're eternal. And then I come and I say, okay, I'm to esteem them better than myself. I'm to have one accord. I'm to love. We can have an opinion, and we don't have to agree with all that's out there, but they should see love. And when we take these harsh stances that are straight out offensive, to be honest, they're offensive, there's no love. They no longer can Christ even be seen in it. And so what was the purpose of taking such a stance? And I think sometimes we get mixed up. Well, yeah, but man, this is on social media. People need to know the truth. They will never listen to that kind of truth. That woman left a different kind of woman because she encountered Jesus. Because he didn't come at her with that kind of truth. He came at her loving. He came at her and said, I know you. Yeah, I know what you're into. I want more for you because I love you. And she was changed. So if we can not have that selfish motivation, you don't need to stand up for Jesus. Jesus stands up for himself. We need to love people like Jesus. So Galatians 5, like God eats popcorn, go backwards. Literally, I was saying that in my mouth. Galatians. Huh?
Go eat popcorn.
I say God eats popcorn. We'll see if he does. Galatians 5, 19 through 26.
Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another.
So, once again, that detailed contrast of the two ways of going. And, you know, there's some heavy, big words in here, you know, adultery, fornication, and so the tendency is to keep going and be like, yeah, this is definitely not me. But stirring up strife is hatred. We read that in Proverbs. Hatred is stirring up strife. I've definitely stirred up strife in my life before. So, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. These are all things of the flesh. And so that fruit of the Spirit, it's not from myself. So I have to choose. It's that in that moment, there's a choice that has to be made. Don't bonk your head too hard. So these scriptures, we're not going to look up, but 1 Peter 3:11. It talks about seeking peace and pursuing it. And Romans 12:18 is the scripture that says, be at peace with all men so far as it depends
on you. Like, God's desire is be at peace with people, that they could see my love. But that depends on you. We have to choose. So why is this so important, all of this topic? Galatians 5:15, you guys can look it up later if you want, but it says, if we bite and devour one another, we will be consumed by one another. And the world's watching. The world is dark. The world needs love. There are people that have never experienced the love. The only true love is the love of God, that kind of love. And we have that opportunity to be the vessel for that. It is such an amazing thing to, when the Holy Spirit will put something on your mind, and it, you know, you're like, what? And you just follow through and you do it, and you bless somebody, and they just think you're so amazing, and you can say, I'm really not. The Lord just, seriously, this isn't just cliche. Like, he just told me to do that for you. What? Well, let me do this back for you. No, I don't want anything back from you. That is so foreign to people. And with all this going around in our world, and we take to social media, I'm just so concerned, will the world ever see it? Will they ever see that kind of love? And that's what we're here for, is to be that physical vessel that God can reach down and touch another human being through us, so far as it will depend on us. But we can choose that path of biting and devouring each other, taking our hard stands, and just consuming each other. Current example will be the Black Lives Matter. No, all lives matter. No, well, guess what? The Black Lives never said other lives never mattered. They just are saying Black Lives Matter. I have a friend put a post, and this was after several of the shootings. She's an African-American friend of mine, lives in Indianapolis. And so she had put on Facebook just how sad she was of the conversation that she had to tell her teenage son going to the mall with friends, and rattled off all these things. When you look at an item, please hold it up in front of you far enough that everyone can see I'm holding this and I'm going to put it back. Don't take your backpack. Don't do this. Don't do that. And as a mother, I tell my children a lot of things when they leave also. So I click all her comments, like, what are people saying about that? Because I think I really know what she's saying. I just wonder if anyone else really knows. So a lot of people, oh yeah, me too. You know, we always telling our children. And I just read several comments like that. And I just said, I give my kids quite the book of instructions when they leave me, but I would be a fool to think we're talking the same. And I am sorry that it is that way, my friend. And she said, thank you that you acknowledge it's different. My friends and I have talked. I've been at the store and picked up a little item that you don't want to fall through the cart, and you lay it on the top of your purse. And in you, you think, I hope no one thinks I'm going to steal that. Right? In all my life of the short 35 years, I've never had a mystery shopper follow me around to make sure I paid for that. I can promise you, many of my friends of color, they do, the moment that goes in that purse. There's a difference. And all they want is just to say, can you acknowledge that? And yet we're so quick to say, sorry, I guess I woke up this morning and I need to apologize that I was white. I mean, that was on Facebook from a friend. Nobody said that. But it's that harshness that no one's ever going to see Christ if we come with this just offensive tone. 1 John 3:10 and 1 John 4:8 through 11 both tell us that those who do not love their brother are not of God. That's why it's so important. People are wondering, who is God? And how they know is by who you live he is. Not who you say he is. Not that you sing a song and raise your hand. He's a good, good father. But you won't show any goodness to anyone you know. It's not what we say. We can say all that we want to say. It's what we do. And when they look and they know, oh, she's a Christian, and they're reading this, and there's just this rudeness. And it's okay, like I said, to have an opinion. It's okay to think differently. But when there is a lack of love, where's God? Who's God? And if that's who he is, I don't want anything to do with it. God cannot be seen in and through us when we don't walk in love. Romans 2:4 is a scripture that says, it's God's loving kindness that leads us to repentance. It wasn't God hammering down how awful we were, how we were terrible, that's why we need him. That's not how he came to us. At least that's definitely not how he comes to me when he says, Jen, I don't want you to be addicted to that. I don't. It's gentle. Now, if someone else came to me, hey, you know, I just noticed you've been eating a lot of ho-hos, man. It's offensive, right? That's straight up offensive. Who's counting? Why don't you count your own ho-hos? Right? But the Lord, his heart is gentle when he takes us to those places. He's loving. It's such a kindness that we want to respond. That's why it's so important with these children, with one another, when we get on social media, with all that's going on, what president you're going to vote for. Fine, have an opinion, but be in love, because we are eternal, and we can't see God when we don't walk in love. And reminding, you don't need to say the points. Jesus does. And they need to see Jesus. And it's his loving kindness that brings men to repentance. Not our strong opinion. Not our rude tone to get yourself right. This country's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, just whatever. Yeah, it is. Read Revelation. It is definitely going in a handbasket. You know, so be loving. Be kind. People need to see goodness. That the American Heritage girl, the video, you know, what's her name? She's got the blonde hair. She talks about American Heritage girls brings back the goodness. And I want to make sure that's true for us as leaders, that people can see the goodness. Because it's that goodness that's going to draw them to wanting the God we serve. And that's my heart's desire, and I think that's every one of your heart's desires, that people would want the God we know. So, at this point, I just want us to, more than anything, we're about to serve these kids. We're about to pour our lives out. School's about to start. We're about to go 90 miles an hour. Is to really, Kim's going to play some music, is really just pray to the Lord and say, God, where in my life or my heart am I not showing love?